Man, the title of my sermon this morning is The Golden Rule. The Golden Rule is what verse 12 is typically referred to as. The Bible reads here in verse 12, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This is what's known as the Golden Rule. A lot of people talk about this without giving credit to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who said this. And a lot of times this is just paraphrased as, "Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you," right? All things whatsoever you would, or whatever you want that men should do unto you, do you even so to them, he's saying. For this is the law and the prophets. Flip over to Luke chapter number 6, if you would. We'll get the other scripture that states this. Luke chapter number 6. That's a pretty strong statement when he says, this is the law and the prophets. He's basically saying that if you would follow the golden rule, if you would follow this principle of doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you, then you would actually end up fulfilling what the law and the prophets are teaching you to do. Because the law can be summed up in just two things. It's summed up in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible says that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you would actually get your heart right and actually love the Lord and love your fellow man, then you would actually end up fulfilling a lot of what God has commanded. That's pretty much the point that God's trying to get across with all the rules that he gives you, is to love God and to love your neighbor. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 31. "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." So notice it does not say, whatever they do to you, do it back. Get them back. Hit them harder. No, it says what you want them to do to you, that's how you should treat them. So we don't treat people based on how they treat us. We treat people on the way that we would want to be treated. That's what the Bible is saying. Look at the next verse. It says in verse 32, "And if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye?" He's saying, I'm not impressed with that. If you do good to people who do good to you, for sinners also do even the same. Verse 34, "And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? Do not the Jews do that?" No, I'm just kidding. "For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Now notice what he says here. Love your enemies, and do good, and so on. Now, in Matthew, there's the famous scripture in Matthew chapter 5 where it says, "You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." And the thing is, sometimes this principle of loving your friends, loving your neighbors, and hating your enemies is sometimes called the iron rule in opposition to the golden rule. Now, a lot of people get this mixed up because Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But notice he did not say that it was written in the Old Testament, or that it's written in the law, or that it was written in Scripture. And a lot of people get this warped view of the Bible where they think, well, in the Old Testament, you know, God's really mean and everything's really rough, and, you know, it's just you hate the bad guys and you love the good guys. But then in the New Testament, God just completely softened up. You know how people sometimes kind of soften up in their old age? You know, grandparents are a little easier to deal with than parents sometimes, right? Because of the fact that people tend to soften up in their old age. So it's this false doctrine that God has softened up in his old age, and that New Testament God tells you to love your enemies, but Old Testament God, everything was eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Folks, that is a false doctrine. That is false. God said, "I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God does not change. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And what you have to understand is that the concept of loving your neighbor as yourself, the concept of even loving your enemies, is clearly taught in the Old Testament. This is not new. This is not Jesus coming and teaching something new. This is Jesus expounding upon and preaching what's already taught in the Old Testament. Nowhere does the Old Testament say to hate your enemies. That is not what the Bible teaches. Okay? So when Jesus says love your enemies, he's not deviating from the Old Testament. He's continuing to teach what the Old Testament already taught. Because in Leviticus, it already says, hey, if your enemy's ox or ass falls in the ditch, pull it out. Help him out. Help out your enemy. Okay? That's what it says. If you see it going astray, step in. Help. That's what the Bible has always taught. That has always been what the Lord has prescribed. Now, when he says, you've heard that it has been said, he's just saying, people said that. He's not saying that he said it. He's not saying that the Bible said it. It hath been said. And here's the thing. You can find ancient literature. You can study ancient Greek literature where this is the mentality. And it's not a scriptural mentality. Okay? So don't think that this is an Old Testament versus New. So then what happens is you show people Old Testament verses about love and hate. And they're like, oh, well, that's totally irrelevant because God, you know, he's not like that anymore. Folks, the gnarliest book in the whole Bible is called the Book of Revelation. It's in the New Testament. It's on the far right of your Bible. It's the most vindictive, vengeful, gnarly, wrath-filled book in the entire Bible. Okay? Does the New Testament teach the love of God? So does the Old Testament. Okay? Because God is the same. You hear people out in the culture say things like New Testament God and Old Testament God, right? It's a lie. It's a false doctrine. There's only one God, and he stayed the same. And people who actually read the Bible know that his personality is the same. His character, his attributes are the same in both. Okay, so we are to love our enemies. What does that mean? That means if someone does us wrong, instead of retaliating, we do unto them as we would have them do unto us, as we would want them to do unto us. Okay, so we don't have to always be getting payback and righting every wrong, and avenging ourselves. The Bible says, avenge not yourselves. Give place unto wrath. The Lord said that he will repay. Vengeance belongs to him. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Now, what is the essence of the golden rule? That's what the sermon's called. The golden rule, doing unto others as you would want them to do unto you. What is the essence of that? Okay. Well, look what the Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. And these are the key words I want to home in on, these two words. As thyself. That is the golden rule right there. Now, we think of, you know, Matthew 7 and Luke 6, but actually the golden rule is found in Leviticus 19, because Matthew 22 is quoting Leviticus 19, because this exact wording, love thy neighbor as thyself, what is that as thyself doing there? That's the golden rule. It's basically saying, hey, put yourself in their shoes. Do unto them as you would want it to be done unto you. Love them as your own self, basically. You're putting yourself in their position. You're looking at it from their perspective. And you're treating them the way that you would want to be treated. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Because we take care of ourselves. We look out for ourselves. And so we need to take care of and look out for other people. We love ourselves. We need to love other people. And the Bible warns in the last days there will be people who love pleasures more than they love God, and they're kind of just lovers of their own selves. They don't care about God. They don't care about their neighbor. It's the exact opposite of what Scripture is teaching. Now go back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 22 in the Old Testament. Second book of the Bible is Exodus. Exodus 22. And we're going to look at this concept a little more. While you're turning to Exodus 22, I'll read you some stuff from Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I am the Lord. Now, if you actually pay attention to the wording of that verse, this verse is telling you to love your enemies specifically because it says thou shalt not avenge. Question, do you avenge against people that haven't done anything wrong to you? The whole point of how could you avenge unless somebody's wronged you? So if somebody wrongs me, the Bible says, don't avenge, but rather love your neighbor as yourself. So even the original Leviticus verse telling you to love your neighbor is specifically talking about enemies in context because it's talking about don't avenge and don't bear a grudge. Why would you have a grudge unless you've been wronged? When you've been wronged, don't hold a grudge. When you've been wronged, then don't take vengeance. When you've been wronged, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the actual context. If you look it up. And then later in Leviticus 19, verse 34, he says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you, and when the Bible says stranger, we in our modern vernacular in the 21st century, we would use the word foreigner. That's what he means by that. So he says, neither shalt thou, verse 34 of chapter 19 says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Look at Exodus 22, 21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And chapter 23, verse 9 is the key. Exodus 23, 9, flip over one page. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, and this is the part I want to emphasize, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So what do we see here? Being able to empathize and put yourself in other people's position, he's saying to them, look, don't treat foreigners bad. Don't vex or oppress or torment foreigners. He's saying, you know what it's like to be a foreigner. Love them as yourself. Since you've been in that position, how did you want to be treated when you were a foreigner in Egypt? Okay, that's how you need to treat foreigners in Israel. Treat them the way that you wanted to be treated. And he's saying, you guys should definitely know this because you've done it. You've been a foreigner. You should know exactly what this is like. And by the way, this is why God sometimes allows us to go through hard things in our life, or punishments, or just tribulations and trials. And this is why we have a lot of the problems that we have in our life, to teach us to be able to treat other people better and not to get prideful and arrogant, but to be able to put ourselves in other people's positions and to be able to understand the pain and suffering that they're going through. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God comforts us in all our tribulation so that we can comfort those that are in any trouble. And that the reason God allows us to go through tribulation is so that we'll be able to help out other people because we know how they feel, we've been there, and we need to care about other people, put ourselves in their shoes, and treat them the way we would want to be treated. You know, we would all, when we were growing up, especially as teenagers, we would have loved to be, you know, tall, good-looking, athletic, smart, popular, right? I mean, teenagers would love these things. But yet, that's not the way it goes for most people. You know, usually something goes wrong along the way somewhere there, okay? You know, I remember, look, when I was growing up personally, you know, when I was in elementary school, I was the shortest kid in the class every single time. Now, once I hit junior high, boom, I sprung up to normal white guy height where I'm at right now. I'm like 5'10", 5'10 and a half. But when I was in elementary school, I was the shortest kid in the class. If you look at my school photo from fourth grade, it was like me and a Filipino kid and a Hispanic kid in the very front row. We're the three short kids, and then everybody else is like way taller behind us. You know, and so I didn't like that. I didn't like being short. You know, I didn't like having a lot of acne when I was a teenager. You know, I didn't like the fact that I had to switch schools like every year because my parents either moved or changed churches or whatever. So I ended up going to a different school in kindergarten, then first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, all different schools. Different. And then it's like finally settled in for fourth, fifth, started sixth. A month into the year, my dad shows up. All right, son, grab your stuff. You're never coming back. It was like, bye, friends. Start a new school. Seventh grade, different school. Eighth grade, switch again. You know. So here's the thing. At the time, these things aren't fun. But guess what? I'm glad that I was short at elementary school. I'm glad that my face was covered in acne as a teenager. I'm glad that I had to switch schools all the time. I'm glad that I wasn't good at sports, because I'll tell you something, going through these kind of hardships and bad things actually teaches you to empathize with other people, because you see other people going through things and you know what they feel. Instead of just being like, psh, you're so lame. I'm so awesome. And you know what? I promise you that if we grew up just with everything going for us, if I personally would have just grown up just having it all together and I've got all the advantage, I've got all the right brand names, and I'm just, you know, looking good, feeling good, performing well on the sports field and performing well in the classroom, number one most popular, I'd probably be the biggest, most arrogant jerk imaginable. Me personally. Why? Because God actually brings those things into our life to actually make us a better person. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might keep thy word. And so here's the thing. You know, if we go through these type of things, and maybe we've been picked on, or we know what it's like to be an outsider, or we know what it's like to have some kind of a physical problem with the way that you look, or whatever, you know what? Then we're not going to be the one making fun of other people that are in that situation, or treating them bad, or locking them out of the group. You know, we're going to want to include people like that because of the fact that we know what it's like. We have that heart. Just like he said, you have the heart of a stranger, so treat the stranger well. You know, sometimes it's, you know, God allows us to go through certain things so we could kind of have the heart of a dweeb, you know, or have the heart of, you know, the short kid, or have the heart of the one who struggled in this area or that area. You know, I've talked to some people who've never struggled financially, and they just have this attitude of, well, anybody who's struggling financially is just either lazy or an idiot. I mean, I've talked to people, you've probably talked to people who had that mentality. Hey, if you're struggling financially, you must be lazy, you must be stupid. But listen to me. You know, I'm glad that when I started out in life and when I got married and had my first few kids, you know, I was out there working really hard, and I was not dumb, and I was working hard, and yet I struggled bad financially. So when I see people struggling financially, I see how, yeah, it is possible to work hard and be smart and still struggle financially. It can be hard. You know, you can be in situations that are tough. Whereas some people have no concept of that because they've never struggled financially. They've just always had all the money they need. And so it's not fun to struggle financially. But you know what? Whatever you go through in life, let it teach you this valuable lesson, my friend. Let no suffering go to waste. Don't let a crisis go to waste, all right? If you're going through life, this is the real definition of that. If you're going through life and bad stuff happens in your life, don't let it be for nothing. Don't just go through that and learn nothing. No, go through that and say, you know what? Now I can understand what other people are going through. I'm going to help them get through the same thing. I'm going to sympathize with other people. I'm going to be more gentle or lenient or more understanding of other people. I mean, think about it. What if you had a pastor who's never had financial problems? He's never had health problems. He's never had any marriage problems. He's never had a problem with his kids. He's never had a problem on the job. Everything's just gone perfect for him in life. Is this pastor really going to be able to relate to you and guide you through what you're going through in the Christian life when you have all these obstacles and everything was just handed to him on a silver platter and he's just basically living this charmed life and everything he touches turns to gold? Hey, he might not be able to minister to you like a guy who's maybe gone through difficulties and problems. And that's why God will put a man through problems who's going to go into the ministry. Obviously, God knows the future. God knew I'm going to be a pastor. And so he caused me to go through certain problems and hardships and difficulties and bad situations so that I could be an understanding person, so that I could empathize and I could relate. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is a great chapter on that. But all throughout Scripture, this is taught. And so when we go through bad times, let it be a lesson unto us to help us put ourselves in other people's shoes. Because the golden rule is that we do unto others as we would have them to do unto us, or as we would want people to do to us. That's how we treat other people. And part of that is knowing what it's like to be in their situation, knowing the heart of a stranger. Go, if you would, to Romans 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And by the way, this is what can be a little bit frustrating about being a white person in 2021, is people accusing you of just, you've never suffered. You're white privilege. You've never gone through anything. Here's what's so stupid about that. By the way, the term white privilege is a stupid term. Don't ever use it. Because you know what you're basically saying? You're saying it's a privilege to be white? Sounds like you're the racist. Since when is being white a privilege? Folks, being red, yellow, black, white is meaningless in the sight of God. It's meaningless in my sight. And let me tell you something. Just because I'm white doesn't mean that I haven't gone through problems. It doesn't mean that I didn't go through struggles in school. It doesn't mean that I didn't go through financial struggles. It doesn't mean that I don't know what it is like to be an outsider. Okay? And by the way, I spent a year of my schooling in a school where white people were the minority by far. So I know what it's like to be a minority. I know what it's like to be picked on for being white. I was nicknamed Casper. Okay? That was my nickname for an entire year. And that's not even the year I'm thinking of. I was thinking of seventh grade. That was sixth grade when I was Casper. Okay? That's what I was nicknamed for, being so white. And I said, "Why do you call me that?" I said, "I'm not the only white kid." But they said, "Yeah, but you're the only white kid that we hang out with." What in the world? So look, folks, don't sit there and say, you know, oh, you know, don't judge people. Here's what I'm saying. Don't just judge people. Don't just look at somebody because they're white and just assume everything's been handed to you. That's not necessarily true. You know, don't just look at somebody who maybe has money now and just assume they've never had financial problems. Right? Somebody who's maybe, you know, like myself, I'm 39 years old. If somebody just looked at me and just said, "Well, you know, it's easy for you to say, you know, you're tall and you, you know, have what you need financially and you don't know what it's like." It's like, yeah, but what about when I was the short guy? What about when I was struggling? But you don't know everybody's story. So don't just look at people and just judge and just assume, oh, everything's been handed to them, it's so easy for them. Folks, that's garbage. Everybody has struggles in life. Everybody goes through problems. We've all gone through a hard road to get where we're at. You know, it's just different for everybody. So don't get this attitude like, ain't nobody suffered like I... You sound like a blues song or something, right? Like, ain't nobody gone through the trials that I've gone through. Quit singing the blues and sing some hymns, amen? To God be the glory, great things he hath done. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Not, I've been down so long since I began to crawl, you know. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. You know, get a biblical mentality and understand the fact everybody suffers. You know what the Bible says? The same temptations are accomplished in your brethren than in the world. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Because guess what? People out there are suffering. People in here are suffering. We've all gone through suffering in our lives. Hey, who's ever suffered in your life? Put up your hand if you've ever suffered. It's every single person. Give me a break. Okay, Romans 13. The golden rule is about treating other people the way you want to be treated. And part of that is being able to put yourself in their position. Put yourself in their shoes. Think about what it's like for them. Verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying." Think about what the word comprehended means. Think about something that's comprehensive. What does comprehensive mean? If I said, you know, a comprehensive healthcare proposal or something. You know, it means, hey, everything's covered. It's all included. So he's saying it's briefly comprehended. He's saying if you want the short version, if you want to write the law of God on the back of a postage stamp, then basically you could just write, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, that's the key statement there that comprehends the whole thing briefly. You just want to get the Cliff's Notes version of the Word of God. It's that, specifically in regard to the law. And it says in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Flip over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. While you're turning there, I'll read for you a couple other scriptures. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James 2:8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is the charity chapter, and charity is another word for love. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, stop and think about this. The Bible is saying that if you are the most excellent speaker imaginable, you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if you don't have charity, the Bible says you're just like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just a bunch of noise. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. So imagine a guy who not only is he an excellent speaker, but he also understands everything about the Bible. Now, obviously, this person doesn't exist, but it's a hypothetical. Hypothetically speaking, let's say you have a guy who's an excellent speaker and he understands everything about the Bible, and you say, well, that's still not enough. Okay, how about this? He also has so much faith that he can remove mountains. So he doesn't just know a lot about the Bible, he actually believes the Bible. He doesn't just know the Bible, he knows it, he believes it, he understands it, and he has the ability to communicate it. Is everybody getting the picture? That's what it says. Oh, but that's not all, folks. There's more. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, not only that, but this hypothetical person, also, he's not one of these rich preachers that we talked about last Sunday or the week before. He's real giving, real generous, bestows all his goods to feed the poor. I mean, you'd say, well, this guy's got the whole package. Oh, but that's not all. And though I give my body to be burned. This guy's willing to be burned at the stake for Christ. So this guy's willing to be burned at the stake for Christ, give away all his goods. He knows the Bible. He believes the Bible. He's got the faith. He's got the knowledge. He's got the ability to communicate. But the Bible says that if he doesn't have charity, he's nothing. Now that's pretty extreme, isn't it? The Bible is really trying to drive this point in that charity is not optional in the Christian life. It's not optional for a man of God. It's not optional for a layperson. It's not optional for anyone. Charity is essential. Love is the most important commandment in the law. Because notice what this guy doesn't have. He doesn't love people. He doesn't love his neighbor. And basically that just ends up voiding whatever else this guy has going for him. Does everybody understand that? Now, this is showing us how important this is. We need to make sure that we have these foundational things of loving God and loving our neighbor, because those are the two things. Everything else is hanging on those two things. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Like, everything is riding on you loving God and you loving your neighbor. Everything is riding on that. You take one of those out, the whole thing comes crashing down, because those are the foundational things. And then he goes on to talk about all the wonderful things about charity. And then he says at the end in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, how would we apply this? Think about it. If you go through life being a jerk to other people, that's a reflection of what's going on in your heart. When you're going to work every day, or going to school every day, or wherever you go in life, whatever you deal with, or in the home, you know, if you're a homemaker, and you're being a jerk to everybody, you're not thinking about their feelings, you're treating everybody badly, you're in it for yourself, you know what? Then that shows what's going on in your heart and that you lack charity. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you say reflects what's in your heart. What you do reflects what's in your heart. And so if you're going to go through life just treating people poorly, not caring about others, then you're not a good Christian, period. Well, you know how much I read my Bible. I don't care how much you read your Bible, pray. Oh, look at all the time I spent out soul winning. Look at how much money I put in the plate. But let me tell you something. Even if you're putting money in the plate and you're praying and you're reading your Bible and you're out soul winning and you're doing all these things, but yet, if you're a bad husband, you're a bad Christian. Bad wife, bad Christian. Bad son, bad Christian. Bad daughter, bad Christian. Bad coworker, bad Christian. Bad student, bad Christian. Bad uncle, bad Christian. You understand? Because you, in every area of life, are to be showing love and you are to be caring about other people. And if you just care about yourself, I don't care how much you read the Bible, go to church, pray, go soul winning, but you're all in it for yourself. Something's wrong with you and you're not a good Christian, period. You must love your family, your friends, your coworkers, your church members. You know, you have to love people, love the lost and want to win them to Christ. Yes, but you know, you say, well, soul winning proves that I love the lost. Not necessarily. Because the Bible says some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely. So look, the Bible says there are people out there preaching the gospel, preaching Christ, but they don't actually love people. They're not actually sincere, and they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Isn't that what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1? And so we need to make sure that we love people. Look, when you go out soul winning, care about the people that you're talking to. Care about them. And by the way, that'll make you do a better job of soul winning when you love and care about the people that you're talking to and what you're saying is from the heart. You're not just going through the motions and just trying to check off another door or check off another salvation, but rather you're giving it your best because you love that person and care about the person. And by the way, people can tell if you love them or not. Even if it's subconsciously. Even if they don't know it consciously, on a subconscious level, they get your vibe that you're putting out, and they can tell whether you really care or not. And by the way, women are more perceptive than men are. And so guess what? Your wife, she knows how you feel about her because she can pick up the vibe. And we can pick up vibes from our wives, our parents, our kids, whoever. Okay? And we need to make sure that we actually have a right attitude in our heart toward other people. You know, the Bible says that we should each esteem other better than ourselves. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we need to care about other people. Where did I have you turn? Anywhere? You still in 1 Corinthians? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And look, it's always disturbing to me when I see someone who's a devout Christian, who's an independent Baptist, who's a dedicated church member, just kind of be a jerk to other people. You know what I mean? And to just kind of be selfish. Every time somebody does anything wrong to them, it's just boom, they're ready to fire back. Isn't that how some people are? Yeah. I mean, as soon as somebody rubs them the wrong way or burns them in some way, it's like, I'm ready to take vengeance. Folks, it's sad to see people that are otherwise godly Christians just have no mercy no tolerance for other people's mistakes, no grace with people, and or to just totally not care about other people's feelings and just walk all over other people's feelings and just hurt other people and just not even think about it. You know, it's disturbing because of the fact that this is so important in our Christian life. You know, you need to make sure, you need to do a little self-check and look in your heart and say, you know what, do I love people? And then here's the next check. Do I only love people who love me or can do something for me? Or do I also love people who don't love me? Do I also love people who can't help me in any way, who can't do anything for me in any way? Do I care about other people? And you know what? When you see teenagers making fun of other teenagers because of the fact that they're not as good looking or they're not as cool or they don't have the brands or whatever, you know what? It's disgusting. And you teenagers that think it's fun and cool to make fun of other kids and laugh at them and tease them, there's nothing funny or cool about that. It's just wrong. And let me ask, and here's what you need to ask yourself. When you're about to, you know, attack some other teenager because they're ugly or whatever problems that they have in your mind, why don't you just ask yourself, what if I were in their position? How would I want to be treated? You need to do that self-check every time you go to do something like that. Now look, obviously there are people out there that are just the enemies of the Lord, evil reprobates, horrible, wicked. And you know what? The Bible says, of course, that we hate those people and we would just want nothing. We would not bless them at all because they're just these horrible pedophiles and just horrible enemies of God. But you know what, folks? 90-some percent of people are not that. Even of unsaved people. Okay? And look, we, you know, I'm not saying, hey, you know, if a little boy comes to school in a dress, don't make fun of him. Folks, I would attack and rebuke that and mock that all day long because that is of the devil, that's straight out of the pit of hell. Okay? But here's the thing. You know, when you hear talk about bullying today, it's like, oh, don't bully the faggots. Folks, the faggots are bullying everyone else in our society. Have you noticed that? Yeah. We're all being bullied into this filthy, pedophilia, faggoty crap.
Right.
Okay? But let me tell you something. Just because they're twisting the concept of bullying and trying to turn it on its head, just like they turn everything else on its head and turn male into female and female into male, they call evil good and good evil. Let me tell you something. Don't go the other extreme and just say, oh, well, we'll bully whoever we... No, friend. No. We need to make sure that we don't let them dictate our behavior. To where we're just like reacting to them or going too far in the other extreme. And look, this faggoty garbage is disgusting and we shouldn't have any tolerance for it. And the Bible doesn't have any tolerance for it. God's Word doesn't have any tolerance for it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making fun of people because they're the wrong height or whatever, or because they're a different nationality, or making fun of people because they're not as cool, they don't have the brands, they're not as athletic, they messed up on the sports field or whatever. You know what? That's disgusting. When you see Christian people treating other people poorly over these dumb things. You know, if you want to get mad at something and fight something, why don't you fight the evil that's taking over our world and our country and not get your kicks making fun of somebody because they're not as cool as you. And you're not that cool either, by the way. And you know what? Your grandkids are going to look at pictures of you right now and say that you look like a freak. Because you're all tricked out in the latest styles. And guess what? Those aren't going to be cool 10 years from now. They're not going to be cool 20 years from now. They're going to be like, why are your pants so tight? What a dork. Baggy pants are coming back, my friend. You know, and I'm not necessarily into baggy pants. I'm just into pants that fit. But folks, everybody who's all trendy and all dialed in with the super tight pants right now, that's not going to be cool down the road. It's already not cool in my book. But the point is, you know, and then some kid just dresses normally. And it's like, oh, it's such a dork, such a nerd, you know. So it's like, why don't you just grow up and get over yourself, okay? And so we need to treat other people the way that we want to be treated. and don't pick on other kids, don't make fun of other kids, and we as adults, you know, we need to make sure that when we're at work, treat other people at work the way that we want to be treated. Be nice to people, help them out. And here's the thing, this isn't just, and I'm focusing more on, you know, the negatives, like, hey, don't make fun of people, don't be vindictive, don't attack them, don't hurt them. But, you know, how about even going above and beyond and just doing positive things for people unsolicited? You know, what would be wrong with going to work and just helping people out with their jobs and just, you know, you got a minute? Oh, here, let me help you with that. And says, that's not my job. That's not my responsibility. I'm not the janitor. I'm not going to clean up after him. You know what? Why not clean up after other people? Why not just go the second mile? Just do extra. You know, why not be kind and loving? And you know what? Then the people at your work are going to respect you more anyway. And you're probably going to have a much better chance of winning them to Christ when you show a good testimony of being a kind, loving, gentle, good person. And you know what? If you're constantly making fun of every race and you're constantly making fun of every, problem that people could have or whatever, you know what? People are not going to feel like they can come to you with their problems because they're going to feel like, oh, you know, I'm afraid he's going to laugh at me or something. You know, people come to me with a lot of stuff because I tell people, I tell my pastor friends, hey, you can come to me with whatever because I'm not going to judge you. Nothing shocks me. I've been at this thing for a long time. I've heard it all, seen it all. And so no matter what you bring me, it's not going to shock me. It's not going to horrify me. I'm not going to judge you. And so, you know, a lot of my pastor friends, they bring me their problems and things because I'm able to help them out without judging them. And they know I'm not going to repeat it or make fun of it or gossip about it or something. You see what I'm saying? And then I have the opportunity to minister to people because they know that if they tell me something, I'm not going to abuse that information. And that's how you want to be, right? You want people to, you want to have that reputation. You don't want to be the reputation of the big gossip who's out spreading everybody else's business, spreading all their personal information, spreading all their problems. You know what? That just tells other people, don't tell this person anything. I can't go to this person for help. And you know, when they're in their spiritual hour of need, they're probably not going to turn to you either. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. And remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The bowels, you know, this is the seat of emotion in the body. When we talked about the kidneys, the bowels, because when you feel emotions, you feel them in your midriff area. You feel them in your abdomen, not in your head, even though your brain is doing the thinking. Feelings take place in the abdomen. And so, he's saying bowels of mercies. He's saying, you know, not just being merciful, but actually feeling the right way toward people. And what does the Bible say? Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. It says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And so he's saying, you know, you need to put yourself in other people's shoes and feel their pain. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, does that characterize your interactions on the job? Is this how you treat people at your job? Is this how you treat people at your school if you're in school? And you say, well, I'm homeschooled. Okay, is this how you treat people in your homeschool? Is this how you treat your brothers and sisters? Is this how you are with your brothers and sisters? Are you merciful, kind, humble in your mind, meek, long-suffering, bowels of mercies? Is this how you act at home? You say, well, I mean, that seems pretty extreme. It's a tall order. Folks, this should be how you, and here's the thing, sometimes people get the wrong impression of me because they hear me up here screaming and yelling as a preacher of God's word, where I'm preaching all these rough passages from the Bible, I'm preaching all these passages, these people shall be put to death, and these people shall be slain, and, you know, he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, and all that, you know. So I'm going through all these rough passages, because I'm getting up and preaching God's word here. I'm rebuking the evils and the wickedness of this world. But they somehow think that I just go through life just basically just like, just with a flamethrower, just everywhere I go, just like, I'm just smashing everywhere I go. I'm just rebuking. And like literally, they think I'm like that really old Nintendo game, Kung Fu, where there's just this steady stream of guys coming at you, and you're just like, you're just like destroying one after the other. It's like, bah, 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 bah. It was really low tech, so those are the only kind of movements you could do. You're like, bah, 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 bah. That's what they think. They think I'm just going through life, just smashing everyone, destroying everyone. And whenever I go soul-winning with people, they're like, wow, I was kind of surprised how you were nice to people. What did you think I was going to do? Folks, when we go to work, when we go out soul winning, when we're at church, when we go to school, these are the type of things that should characterize us. We should be nice to people. We should be kind, merciful. Hey, somebody messed up my car or my bike or whatever. It's like, hey, that's okay. No problem. You know, one time I was in the bank parking lot and this guy backed in and dented my car, but it wasn't really a big deal. It was just cosmetic. Like, it didn't affect the function of the car. It just put a big, ugly dent in the back of my car that was a pretty new car. And he just put it, it was like an East Indian guy, not that that has anything to do with it. And he backed into my car and put a big dent in it. And you know what I said to the guy? I said, hey, it's okay, no problem. He's like, are you sure? You know, can I pay for it, whatever? I'm just like, hey, don't worry about it. And you know what I did? As soon as I did that, I got in the car and I prayed and I said, God, there's going to come a time when I hit someone's car. It's not if, it's when. And I just prayed and said, God, let that person do unto me as I have done unto him. Because if I treated him the way I want to be treated, Lord, let this, you know, bless me in that way. And you know what? I was driving down the road. I rear-ended somebody, but it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't a real high speed or anything. I rear-ended a guy. He got out of the car and said, hey, you know what? Bleep happens. No problem. Have a great day. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Now, I wasn't an angel unawares. I'm not sure that, you know, he would have talked that. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm telling you, you know, when you treat other people the way you want to be treated. Not like somebody barely bumps my car, puts his dent in it, and then it's just like, oh, I think my neck hurts now, you know? I got to go to months of physical therapy now. You know, I got to go get wear a neck brace for a few months just to kind of, you know, seal the deal. Folks, treat people the way that you want to be treated. Right? You should be kind to people. Be nice to people. Be humble. Don't walk around acting like you're better than everyone else.
Yep, I'm the best electrician on this crew.
That's a wicked attitude.
Amen. Well, it's true, though.
Folks, the Bible says esteem other better than yourself. Amen. And you know what? I hope you are the best electrician on the crew. But you know what? Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. Strangers, not thine own lips. You should be characterized by humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering, meaning you're not just a short fuse. You know, somebody spills something on you, it's like, ah, you idiot, what have you done? Somebody spills something on you, you should just be like, hey, no problem, it's okay. No problem. No big deal. Don't sweat the small stuff. If somebody spills something on you, somebody breaks your thing, somebody dents your car, you know, don't just be out to just take vengeance and vindictive, and I'm going to prosecute to the full extent of the law. Now, look, there are certain things in life that do need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. There are certain things in life that must be confronted. There are battles that we need to fight. But let me tell you something. Most of the battles that we fight in our individual daily lives are the wrong battles. We need to be fighting the Lord's battles. We need to be fighting spiritual battles against spiritual wickedness in high places, not fighting the battle of office politics, of school politics. Be kind. Be nice. Be humble. Be someone who lets things go. You don't have to fight every battle. You know, what if someone says something about you that's not true? you don't necessarily have to right that wrong. Because sometimes it's just not a big deal. Choose your battles, folks. And don't just be, and isn't that what it means, long-suffering? Eventually, everybody's got their breaking point. But let your breaking point be high, not just on a hair trigger. Where somebody just barely says the wrong thing to you, and you're, freak out. You know, be tolerant. You know, sometimes people say things to me that offend me, you know. You know, it can be irritating sometimes when people are disrespectful to you. You know, this generation of young people has no respect for their elders in many ways. Kids don't respect adults. But you know what? When children disrespect me, I don't bite their head off. I don't freak out. You know, children are disrespectful to me as an adult. You know what? I just take it, despising the shame. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm just like, you know, their parents are failing to teach their kids respect. You know, but whatever. It's not a big deal. I don't just have to just right every wrong. And I'm telling you, there are people in this world who feel like they must right every wrong. If you live your life that way, you're going to be a miserable person. And you're not following Scripture. Because Scripture is about forgiving, letting things go, passing over a transgression, the Bible says. Sometimes we need to just pass over the transgression, let it go, not a big deal. We don't have to right every wrong and exact every vengeance. Verse 13, forbearing one another. That means putting up with people. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Number one, most important, charity. Loving people. And here's the thing. If I have charity, I'm going to do all that other stuff anyway. If I can get the love and charity in my heart the way it needs to be, I'm going to be kind to people. Why would you be nice? Why would you not be nice to somebody that you love? If you actually love people, aren't you just automatically going to kind of be nice to them? And if you hate someone, aren't you automatically going to want to just tend to just kind of rip their head off over something stupid? You're kind of just looking for a reason to just thrash them? So get the love in your heart. Go to 1 Timothy 1. This is the last place we'll turn, 1 Timothy 1. I'm just about done here. I hope that the message is clear this morning. The golden rule. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Be kind, gentle, loving, good. And before you go to say something to somebody, stop and ask yourself, is this how I would want to be treated? You know, somebody dents your fender a little bit. What do I want to happen when I dent someone's fender? That should be what you ask yourself. How would I want this to be handled? How would I want? And look, I understand there are certain situations, you know, somebody wrecks your car or something. Yeah, you got to get, you know, it needs to get fixed or whatever. You got to run the insurance. I get that. I'm saying, you know what? Here's the thing. Look, I've been in accidents where I was at fault. And you know what? How would I want to be treated? I'm fine with that person running it through the insurance if it's a big deal. Because I understand they need to get it taken care of. I get it. But if it's just something small, if it's just something stupid, you know, I'd rather that they would just kind of let it go. And so then I should let things go. And I know that's kind of maybe a dumb illustration, but you could think of 30 other illustrations. Pick one that you like. Okay? You know, if somebody messes up something, what if somebody messes up something on the job and I can fix it real quick and kind of cover for them? Kind of fix it, take care of it, and then later say to that person, hey, you made this error, but don't worry. I took care of it. The boss didn't know. I was able to fix it. Everything's cool now. And not, what? Or how about this? I see my coworker mess something up on the job, and I'm just like, oh, man, he's going to get nailed. He's going to be toast. But I'm not going to say anything because I want him to be toast so that I can get the promotion, so that I can get the raise, so that I can look good. Think about that. This is how real life works, my friend. Those are two different mentalities. One that just lets it all go bad, and the one that says, hey, if I can cover for my coworker and help fix something and make things right, then the company benefits, he benefits. And you say, but he's treated me bad. Hey, love your enemies. Amen. Yeah, but he's always blaming stuff on me. This is my chance to get him back. Pass up that opportunity. And God's going to look down from heaven and see what you're doing. He's going to bless you for doing it right. all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Notice, what does it mean, the end? The end is the destination, the summit, the pinnacle. This is the final level, the end of the commandment, the purpose of the commandment. What's the purpose? Where are we going with this? Love. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. You remember how in Corinthians it said that if you don't have charity, you're like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal? Well, a tinkling cymbal is jangling. This is jangling. Jangling my keys, right? It's noise. You know, now, where's Brother Matt Adams? Hey, so Matt Adams has perfect pitch, right? So if I play a key on the piano, he can tell me what note I just played, which is like one in 10,000 people or whatever. So he can actually, you know, identify notes like that. But if I, hey, what note is this? Matt, what note? Here,
I'll do it right here.
Come on, what's the frequency? What is the frequency? There is, it's not making any discernible sound or noise. There's nothing intelligible about that. If I went over the piano and pushed keys on the piano, then I'm sending him actual vibrations that he can tell me, okay, that's a B flat, that's an A, that's a D or whatever. So here's the thing, vain jangling. A lot of people have swerved from charity out of a pure heart, actually caring about people, actually loving people, actually being a good friend, a good husband, a good father, a good wife, a good child, a good son, a good daughter, a good nephew, a good niece, right? They've turned aside from being a good student, a good coworker. They've turned aside into vain jangling. And you know what? There are certain people that you know, nobody listens to them. Nobody wants to hear what they have to say. When they start talking, you tune them out. Because what they're saying is just blah, blah, blah. And then there are other people that you actually want to hear what they have to say. And I'm telling you that if you don't have charity, you're like the parents on Charlie Brown, where it's just like, wah, 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 wah. And you're a vain jangler. And you're a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise. It's not a musical tone. It's just noise. Well, if you want the people in your life to listen to you and respect you, then you know what? You need to love people. You need to be a loving person. And you need to make sure that you live a life in accordance with love, which is a life characterized by gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, forgiving, forbearing. You should always be the person that, you know, when somebody bumps into you, it's and they say, oh, sorry, it's no problem. Not like, what's where you're going? I mean, folks, we need this in our world today. And, you know, I don't care whether people think this is one of my best sermons or not. This sermon's important.
Amen.
Whether you enjoy the sermon, whether it's a fun sermon to you, this is the sermon that we need. I'm telling you, this is the concept we need. This is the teaching that we need. I mean, these days, out in the world, the love of many has waxed cold. I mean, it always cracks me up. I'll be driving with my wife. My wife is in the driver's seat. She's a woman. She has a bunch of kids. It's obvious that she's a mother with a bunch of kids. I've seen her do something that someone didn't like, where she, you know, I don't know, she just pulled out or they didn't think she should have changed lanes or whatever. And I've seen just men that are like 30, 40, 50-year-old adult grown men just over one little merge that they didn't like or one little turn, literally just flipping her off, screaming profanity at her. I mean, it's like, what kind of a society are we living in? It's just like, you accidentally do something and then it's just like the window's down and they're looking at this blonde woman with her kids just driving down the road. It's like, she's clearly a woman. My wife's not some butch where they have to like wonder what it is. I mean, she's clearly a woman.
She's clearly feminine, right? She's got her long blonde hair. She's in the driver's seat, and it's like, you blankety blank blank, F this and B that, and it's just like flipping her off. And I'm just like, what is happening? You know, it used to be that people would respect a lady, right? You wouldn't just blow up. I mean, first of all, even if it's a dude, you shouldn't do that. If it's a dude, you shouldn't be acting that way. But how much more egregious is it to treat a woman that way? Of course, women want to be treated equally now, so I guess that's where they're at now, you know? Now they want to be treated equally. Now they're getting more equal every day. Now they're competing against men in sports and everything. All their dreams are coming true right now. You know, they're getting treated. But folks, there's something wrong if you're that person who blows up and freaks out like that. When somebody cuts you off in traffic or somebody bumps into you. And the worst thing is when you say you're sorry to someone and they don't tell you that it's okay. Let me just teach you everything. If somebody says sorry, you say, it's okay. I forgive you. No problem. Not like, hey, bump into somebody. Oh, sorry. And they're just like, is that gentleness? Is that kindness? Is that forbearing one another? Forgiving one another as Christ forgave? Is that how you want God to be? You want to get on your knees and be like, God, I'm so sorry for what I did. And he's just like, lightning bolt. Well, somebody's house is going to burn down next week. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat people the way you want God to treat you. Treat people the way you want other people to treat you. Follow the golden rule in your life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, I just pray that these things would sink down into our ears and that every single person here would care about other people. And Lord, help us to love the unlovely. Help us to love the unlovable. Help us to be kind unto the unkind. Even that grouchy, rude person at work, Lord, help us to be nice unto them. Help us to be nice to that jerk student or teacher or jerk family member, Lord. Help us to love them and treat them kindly and overcome evil with good, Lord. Help us not to return evil for evil and feel like we have to be vindictive or right every wrong. Lord, just help us to be good, nice, kind people, Lord. Help us not to get so caught up in the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots that we forget the thing that it's all hanging on, which is that we love you and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord. Help us to always keep that in the front of our minds. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Number 133, if you need the words for this one, safe wherever I go, number 133. We'll sing this twice, number 133. Safe wherever I go, peace the world cannot know, number 133. Sing it out all together, number 133.
Safe wherever I go, peace the world cannot know. Sins are forgiven and heaven my home. I'm safe wherever I go. Safe wherever I go, peace the world cannot know. Forgiven and heaven my home. I'm safe wherever I go.
Amen. We have the singing class right here at 5 that's available for anyone. And with that, God bless you all dismissed.